Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to our program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhaib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the Four Schools of Thought. Today's date is the 28th of Ramadan, 1444 in South Africa. The rest, most parts of the world, 29th of Ramadan, 1444. Corresponding to their Gregorian calendar, the 20th of April, 2023. Alhamdulillah, today our topic is on Sadaqatul Fitr and Eid, Eidul Fitr, inshallah. And our Honorable Mufti Saab, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Saab, Damat Barakatuh, is with us here in studio, inshallah. Remember, to pay for your Sadaqatul Fitr, the amount is 35 riyals for the Hanafis. And inshallah, Mufti Saab will be addressing us on certain issues. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, azaid khan, jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, today our topic on Sadaqatul Fitr first. Mufti Saab, what is Zakatul Fitr?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we're reaching the end of Ramadan Mubarak 1444, and before I respond to that question, one important announcement. Insha'Allah al-Aziz, today between 105 and 130 will be Surah An-Nas. Insha'Allah, we'll complete the Quran Sharif, the Tafsir today, insha'Allah al-Aziz. And 130 to 2 will be the Dua, the Khatmul Quran. So we request all the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah, to make special Dua. Allah Jalla wala accept it. Alhamdulillah, we started Tafsir of the Noble Quran. It was my first broadcast live on radio on 22nd of January 2001. And I remember that with CII it was, and I said that A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And in fact, that was the first program of CII, because they had no other programs. They used to play Quran Sharif and Naach Sharif, and they used to play Nazams and so. So that is how we started the programming there at CII. And then it carried on for 17 years. And now with Allah's help, Allah's mercy, and Allah the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, barakah, wasila, and the capital group, now more than just 5 years now. So mashallah with Markaz. So Allah ta'ala accept it, and Allah make it a means of hidayat also. So today between 105 and 130, inshallah, we will have the tafsir of Surah An-Nas. Okay, whenever we want to discuss any issue, our first point of reference must be the Quran Sharif, and our second point will be the Sunnah Mubarakah, and thereafter we come to the fatawa of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the verdict of the fuqaha, the jurors, the four schools and so forth. So when one studies the Noble Quran, chapter 87, and thereafter verses number 14 and 15, so you will see that Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala states, Qad, verily, surely, definitely, Afalaha, indeed, definitely, the person is successful, who? Man tazakka, the person who pays his zakat, zakatul fitr, sadaqatul fitr. And remember, wa dhakara isma rabbihi, then on the night of Eid, the day of Eid, that person there, remember, he's reading takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. And then faswalla, then he goes and performs his Eidul Fitr salat. So from there you prove Sadaqatul Fitr, and this tafsir is mentioned in the Hadith Kitab Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this tafsir himself as well. So therefore we're giving you the relevant references as well. Second one is, if you open Abu Dawood, you will find a sahih statement and saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, every companion of Nabi alayhi salam is special, but some are extra special also. So Abdullah ibn Abbas belongs to that category. He was not even baligh. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, when Habibuna sallallahu alayhi sallam performed hajj, the words are walam yahtalim, that he was not mature, he was not baligh, he was very young, meaning. So similarly, you can deduce from there, the time of Nabi alayhi salatu salam's demise also, he was still not baligh and mature and so forth. And because it was just a matter of 3 months, you know, from the hajj to the demise of the master alayhi salatu salam. So nevertheless, so he is, and he passes away in the year 68 in Taif, and Muhammad bin Hanafiya, the son of Sayyidina Ali, he's a Tabi'i, he performed, remember, the Salatul Janaza of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So here we see now, he, Abdullah ibn Abbas, for whom Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, Allahumma faqqihu fi ddeen, Allahumma allimhu ta'wil wa faqqihu fi ddeen. Ya Allah, teach him the interpretation, meaning of the noble Quran, and give him profound, deep understanding of Islam. Go open the manaqib, the virtues, and fadail of sahabas, in various kitabs, you will find it in Tirmidhi Sharif, and remember Mishkat Sharif, and Musnad Ahmad, and so forth and so on. So in a case like that, so Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala is teaching us that we have to follow the Sahaba radiallahu anhum as well. And remember the Sahaba, farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zakat al-fitri. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it compulsory. So all the fuqaha agree is compulsory, whether you say farz or whether you say wajib, is still compulsory. So that zakat al-fitri, now this in hadith literature, in hadith you call it riwayat bil-ma'ana, which you'll find some ravis and reporters use the word zakatul fitri, some use the word sadaqatul fitri in the same hadith. So farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zakatul fitri, and some say farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sadaqatul fitri. Anything of Islam, like people today, they have big conference and meeting regarding zakat, and they will tell you it's there to uplift the poor and to, you know, help the needy. All that is wrong. You must remember that. That's not the primary objective. That's the secondary objective. Similarly, look at this hadith. Farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zakat al-fitri, first and primary objective, tuhuratan lisa'imi min al-laghwi wal-rafath, that it is to purify us, the fasting person, the wrong we did, we spoke wrong, we heard wrong, we saw wrong. So most 99% of us, maybe 1% you can excuse, you understand. So what happens is tuhuratan lisa'imi min al-laghwi wal-rafath. Then comes وَتُؤْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ, so you have the poor and the needy Muslims and so forth, so they can also make their Eid preparations, they also want to wear beautiful nice clothes, they also want to have a sumptuous meal and so forth. Similarly with zakat, zakat is the primary objective, the love for Almighty Allah must increase, and our love for wealth, that craving we have, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. So chapter 100 verses 6, 7 and 8, Almighty Allah speaks of how human being is so ungrateful to Allah Jalla wa'ala, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ وَإِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ, and the best testimony to it. So that is the main purpose of zakat. In Umar bin Abdul Aziz time, Amirul Mu'mineen, 99 to 101, people used to walk around, they hardly used to find poor people. So then if that is the primary objective, what you're saying, then the farziyat and compulsion of zakat should fall away and should be waived off. Obviously it's not waived off. So similarly, when Nabi Isa alayhi salam, second coming, come, everybody will be multimillionaire and very well to do. But still zakat will be compulsory. So it shows that that is a secondary reason, there to help and empower the poor Muslims and so forth. The primary reason is, Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba rasulik wa hubba ahlil bayt wa hubba ashabin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa hubba al-islam. So that is the main reason, the love for Almighty Allah, the love for Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love for the ahlul bayt, the household family of Nabi alayhi salam, the love for sahaba radiallahu an, the love for awliyaullah and Islam in total. So totality. So that is the primary objective. So people sometimes they mix all these issues up.
Mufti Saab, how do we figure out who to give the Zakatul Fitr to or Sadaqatul Fitr?
Remember that Zakatul Fitr, Sadaqatul Fitr, first of all, so we gave you that, so when should you pay it? Before we come to who? Now you must pay it already. So remember this, when you're going to pay. And in the same hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is mentioned in the ending, فَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا قَبْلَ الْإِيدِ. So remember who pays it before Eid Salat, Eid Day, all that, فَيَا زَكَاتٌ مَقْبُولَةٌ. Then you will receive optimum, maximum reward, because now you're fulfilling, you must remember, the maqasid and the aims, objectives of it. وَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا بَعْدَ Salat. You're going to pay it after Eid Salat, because you forgot, you were lazy, and so forth. Then you will receive the minimum reward, فَيَا صَدَقَةٌ مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ. So therefore, O esteemed listeners, make sure already from today, if you have not paid as yet, start paying today. Latest tomorrow it should be done. Saturday is Eid, inshallah al-Aziz. So we're very confident about that, inshallah, with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala. So therefore, pay, and pay for yourself, pay for your children, your minor children, all that is compulsory according to all four schools. Regarding payment for your wife, the Shafi'is say, yes, you must pay for your wife also. Hanafis say, she must pay, but now if you pay, it's fine. But before payment, you must inform her that you're paying. It's just a matter of $2, 35 rand basically, or more. That is Hanafi school. Shafi'is is 40 rand or more. So you must remember that it's not such a substantial amount or something. So you can't be fighting with your wife now and say, no, I won't pay that, you must pay, and so forth. So don't make petty things big issues. Sometimes we make tissues into issues and issues into tissues, you know. So remember that we just make unnecessary problems. So that's the thing that we should know, the payment. And remember another masla you should know, the Salafis, they don't understand fiqh, you know, majority of them. So they only know the superficial meaning. Today, if you go to Makkah, Medina and ask the sheikh there, Sheikh, hal yajuzu daf'ul qima? Can I pay? You understand the riyals, dollars, ma, rupees, whatever currency. They'll tell you, la yajuz. They'll tell you, no, you must pay tamar, you must pay dirs. So that poor guy there, he's sitting with 100 kilos, 50 kilos of rice and dates and all this. So you must use your brains, but what is the maqsad of it? You must remember that. So that day, ughnuhum ani su'ali dhaka al-yawm, Allama Kasani rahimahullah has mentioned one of the objectives is the poor people, that day they must not be begging, because you already sorted them out before the day of Eid and so forth. So remember the original fatwa of the Shafis and them was that you must pay in rice or in dates and so forth, whatever the staple food. But the mutakhirin of the Shafis, they all agree with the Hanafis nowadays, that you pay money and so forth, all that is permissible, remember. Now the question comes, who is the recipient? Who is the person that can receive Zakatul Fitr, Sadaqatul Fitr? The Hanafis is very straightforward. Only that person there who is a Muslim and a person who is entitled to receive Zakat. If you want to know the people who can receive zakat, Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 60, Allah Jalla Wala mentions the Samaniyat wa Asnaf, Samaniyat wa Aqsam, eight categories there Allah Ta'ala mentions. So they are the ones, you give them zakat, you give them Sadaqatul Fitr, Zakatul Fitr. That is the Hanafi opinion and verdict. As far as Shafi's, Ambalis, and majority scholars go, they say, no, it's not like that. They make it very, very narrow. They say, the person, understand, they say, man indahu, qutu yawmin wa laylatin. A person, Saturday is Eid, we say, right? for this Saturday year, inshallah, inshallah. So from Maghrib time, Friday, right, till the next day, Maghrib time, Saturday, that person got enough food in his house and that, for himself, for his wife and his children and so forth. We speak of minor children and so. So he has to pay fitrah. Understand that. He has to pay sadaqatul fitr. So when you speak of giving people, so you have to give such people, according to Shafis and Hanbalis and all of them, that a person who does not possess that, you must remember that. So it will be very, very poor person. Now it's obvious today, they will just pass the fatwa on the Hanafis and that, because very difficult nowadays to go and ascertain and find out and all that. But the actual fatwa mazhab is that of the Shafis and that. And there's a beautiful hadith in Musnad Ahmad and Targhib wa tarheeb and that for amma faqeerukum, and the people who are poor, they also must pay. Why they must pay? Then fayu'tihi Allah, Allah Ta'ala will give him more and more, akthara mimma a'ta. So remember, more than what he spent, Allah will give him. So therefore, the wisdom is this, that we mustn't always, when I stood teaching Darul Newcastle, so most of our students were poor students from Cape Town and here and there. So I used to tell them that human nature is such, we only know lam se le. Take. We must learn dal se de also, you know. Al yadul ulya khairu min al yadi sufla. The hand that gives is much superior than the hand that receives, remember that. So similarly, that we must encourage people to pay the fitra, not only collect the money and so forth. You go to the Eidgahs, you go to masajid, the big places and areas, you will find hundreds of Muslims all begging there. That's not only indictment upon them, it's indictment upon the ummah also. So it shows that we have not taken care of the poor as we're supposed to. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقُّ لِسَائِلِ الْمَحْرُومِ. When we pay our zakat, when we pay our sadaqatul fitr, all that, we're not doing anybody a favor, we're just giving them their proportionate share, which they are entitled to. That is what Quran is saying to us. So we need to understand all these issues properly.
Mufti Saab, is it permissible or good to give sadaqatul fitr to an organization?
I am dead against all these things here. And I said it and I'm on record on saying it. You must remember that today you take South Africa, you take other countries, majority of them are pocketing the money. What I mean by pocketing the money? That let's say you gave them 1,000 rand, you gave them 50,000 rand, 100,000 zakat and so forth and all this. So what they do? So they will tell you, okay, this is zakat. Then they will put it through a hila. They will put it through a loophole. And they will use some strategy, you see, a trick we call hila. And then they will make it into, you must remember, lillah. Then the same money is given to them as wages. So instead of that money going to the poor, it goes to them. You go see their officers, you go see their staff and all this. And they'll tell you, we got fatwa from here and fatwa from here and fatwa from here. So therefore, me, I don't agree with these things here. A nation that made hilas and shortcuts and loopholes and skaldakhri and all that, with the jutlas, the haramis, Quran Sharif says, فَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. Allah Ta'ala made them and transformed them, and literally, not figuratively, into monkeys despicable. So therefore, we must not allow these things here. And if you want, we studied this, so we know about these things. Hazrat Allama Yusuf bin Nuri, rahimahullah, he was dead against all these hilas and all these things here. He said, yes, it don't suit ulama to do this type of things. And it doesn't behove their high status to do this type of things. So therefore, we must look at, you see, in deen, we mustn't look for loophole. Okay, ye gunjaish bhi hai, ye bhi hai, and all that. If there's some real zarurat, is different, real need, necessity. But like this, you know, that whole life study in a madrasa, and in like Pakistan and all that, India, 90%, 80% of the time, the students collecting zakat. Then he say, yeh to bohut acha, let me open my own madrasa, my own darulum. Now he goes out and collects zakat. You will see after 5 years, 10 years, the richest person there is the principal and his children. So, from where all that money came? It's dry cleaning business. You understand? So they put it through the Hila operation. So that's how self-enrichment. So therefore these organizations. So we promote here. Today also this morning when I was answering all. So I sent out, I said send to the Majlis or send to Qasimul Ulum there in Cape Town. So that people we know and so forth. These are our students, our graduates from Darul Uloom and so forth. So but there's any organization is that. Today is becoming, is Quran say, yu'minuna bil ghaib. You must believe in the unseen. Today the truth, if we speak the truth, our Islam has become commercialized across the board. Is yu'minuna bil jayb. That how much I can make out of Islam to enrich myself and my family. That's the bottom truth, remember that.
Mufti Sahib, a person says, I have not discharged my Sadaqatul Fitr for many years now. Am I a sinner and what should I do?
100% what you must do is this. For the past 10 years, you did not pay fitra and so forth, so you work with today's rate. So take for yourself, take 350 rand, and then you must go and give that to the poor Muslim. And then you got, for example, your son, then if he was a minor, so you have to pay for him. Then you got your wife, for example, so take 1,000 rand, 1,050 rand, and go and give it out to the poor. That is for the past 10 years. And then you will say that you're up to date and so forth. So you must expedite all these matters. So far, so far. You know this, so far, so far. At the swifu min shaitan. To procrastinate and delay and all that is from Satan, and that's not permissible. This. Therefore, we have these type of programs to remind ourselves, to remind you. Make sure, and you ladies at home, you must pester your husband. Make sure by tonight, before Friday starts, or before tomorrow, suhur and Jummah, that Sadaqatul Fitr, Fitra, Zakatul Fitr must be paid. Remember that. That's what we will advocate and teach the people.
Mufti Sahib, a person says, I'm a father, I have a 6 months baby. Must I pay Zakat?
100% is compulsory. 100%. Even if it's 6 hours old or 6 days old, you have to pay, it's compulsory.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah, we return back to this program. Mufti Sahib, what is the method of performing Eid Salah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before we reach there, let's take few issues into consideration. Let's start today. So those people who started fasting on Thursday, so for them, today is the 29th fast. So they have to scan the sky and look for the new moon and the crescent. And those people, remember, who started Friday, so tomorrow night they have to look for the new moon. That is the law, not only for Ramadan and Eid, for throughout the year that is the law in Islam. Minimum days 29 and maximum days 30. And after that is the first automatically. So the question arises now. This is the crucial question we need to understand. Today, if you ask, you must remember this astronomers and falakiyat in Arabic, we say that these people who study, they say virtually impossible to see the new moon crescent in the world anywhere, that tonight, Thursday night. So if that is the result, then it will be Saturday. And if you look at the Saudi media, I was looking at it even today and all that, the messages coming through. That's the message they are sending, you understood, that it should be on Saturday and so forth. So the main thing is that we have to see what Saudi Arabia does. If they say that no moon sighted, so tonight they have Taraweeh, they finished the Quran Sharif already yesterday in Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwara, and then tomorrow they fast, so it's 30 fast, we will salute them, we will say very good, you understood, what good you do, we'll praise you. So, and then Saturday Eid, and those who started fasting on Friday, so tomorrow when you scan the sky, just take South Africa, it's 35-hour moon, some places 36 hours, you take Cape Town and all that. So it shows that then Eid will be Saturday everywhere in the world, you can say 99-95% of the countries, maybe one, two other countries and all that, you know, they will be excluded. But generally, the whole world. So that will be good. We all will be happy in this sense and all that. And then everything is working with Sharia. But when you look at the track record of Saudi Arabia, so you must remember that many a time, they pass sometimes something crazy verdict. They say, "Ey la ibrata bil falakiyat and bil hisab," and all that. We also agree on that. You can't just pass verdict, you must remember on what these astronomers say and all that. But when you say that I was there in Medina one day, so today was like, 29 days. So 14 minutes before sunset was the birth of the moon, and they announced next day is Eid. Now you see, they'll tell you, no, one person saw it there. So you must remember. I sent to you today, in 1984, they only had 28 days fasting. You must remember that Ramadan. Now, you the Merkaz, you the headquarters, and you make all these kind of things there. And here in Cape Town, whether we like, don't like, where credit is due, we have to give. So remember what the Mancakers did, nobody in the world did. They got a record of over 75 years. Every month, whether it's rain, snow, or whatever, they are there, Signal Hill, or wherever, Anchor Bay, or wherever they go. They're there to see every month, and everything is recorded. Who saw the moon, who was there. Not one Muslim country, not one Arab country got there. Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah Ali Sheikh, I met him several times. I posed a question to him. You can't ask directly, you must write the question in the conference when you are and all. So we asked Sheikh, tell us how your moon works here. He said, these are his words, verbatim I'm quoting that. He said that, in Arabic, I'll tell you now what he said. He said, there's no sighting of moon in Saudi Arabia for 8 months. Laysa fiha ahkamun. These are the words verbatim, he said. That, laysa fiha ahkam. There's no rules there. There's nothing. So what do you have to worry? So only 4 months they have sighting. And they have 6 places. You understand? I went and saw with them. So they're in Makkah, and in the mountains they got them. So they see through a telescope and this and all that. So anyway, so what happens is this. So which are the 4 months? So Ramadan 1, Shawwal 2, and then Zulhijjah 3, and Shaban. Shaban because of the hadith. So Ahsu Hilala Shaban li Ramadan. So only there's 4. So the irony of the situation was, he told us this. Then, so this happened in Makkah or somewhere. So your mother, when we went to Riyadh, so because we were 15, 20, whatever we were. When we went to Riyadh, so they tell you where you must go, they take you all. So we met the Ra'isul Qazi, Sheikh Suhsali Luhaydan. He was a very pious person. He passed away. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. So this is after Hajj now. So they invited us and made us Qazis and all that in 2 weeks and all that. They even gave us a certificate, you know. So anyway, that's just beside the point. So on the same day, they made 2 appointments. They said, we must go meet Sheikh Salih Luhaydan, Chief Justice. And we must meet Mufti Al-Am, the Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah Ali Sheikh. So these are the greatest authorities in religious matters. So we asked that Sheikh now, because Muharram, they don't cite and this type of thing. That's what the Sheikh told us. So you must remember. So what happened is that we asked him that which day is Ashura. Like it was still coming. So one said, for example, now, Tuesday. And the other one said, Wednesday. Now we're looking at one another. That both are sitting in Riyadh. Both are supposed to be the top sheikhs and imams and whatever and all that day of Saudi. But among yourselves, you don't know what you're doing. One say Tuesday, one say Wednesday. Now what the public must do? Sheikh Lutfullah Abbasi, who was very great, Waliullah, he's buried there in Baqi. He went twice inside there when the master, alayhi salatu salam, is. I asked him personally. When Ziaullah came, went inside and they told him to go for Arabic, Urdu, all that. So anyway, he used to tell us, therefore, when it comes to Muharram and all that, then we keep 3 fast. You understand? Because we're not sure ourselves which day is Ashura and this and all that. So instead of 2, Yawman Qablahu or Yawman Ba'dahu, we say Yawman Qablahu wa Ba'dahu. So 9th, 10th and 11th we used to fast, you see. So we know sure then we got Ashura and all. Now that are all the public, what they going to do? So like that it is. So you must remember this kind of thing there. So many examples you can give. You must remember like that. So therefore, even this morning I said that if Saudi announces tonight, you understand, the moon is sighted, and the media will say multiple sightings. You know, that's how they play it. You must remember. So then we reject it totally. You must remember that. As it is, I am dead against any country following Saudi Arabia. And best part, we asked him that question for Sheikh Abdul Aziz. Sheikh, what you say, we in Junubi Africa must we follow you? He said, Likulli baladin ru'yatuhum. Every country should follow their own sighting. That is what he said. So it's all recorded. You must remember this type of thing. So the point I'm making is, if you take America, Europe, and UK and all that, it's a herd mentality, basically. If Saudi have to announce tonight, they say, yeah, it's finished. Tomorrow is Eid. Finished. Now what we must worry? Saudi said so. Now what happens? What happens Islamically? They said, I'm just giving you another example to understand this one. They said, tomorrow, Friday, is Yom Arafah. The people are very happy. They'll say, you can get double sawab and thus and thus and this. The public don't know what's happening. But we know that Arafat is supposed to be the next day, for example. You understand? So everybody's hajj is done, and well, ismu alayhim. And the people who are the ulil amr, the people who are in charge, they made the decision, so the sun falls on them. So let's say, we look at it both ways, that if they say, tonight there was no sighting, hence tonight is Taraweeh, and tomorrow is fasting, and Saturday, we'll salute them. We'll say, honey and lakum, very good you did. And remember that. But if they say that, now, tonight was sighting, and tomorrow is Eid. So it means the people, they kept 29 fasts. And in reality, they ate up one fast. You understand? And the day they're supposed to fast, tomorrow, and they're not fasting, we're just celebrating Eid. So the people are very, the people won't get any sin, but the people who made the decision, the sin is on them. You see? So that is how you must understand these type of things here. So therefore, it's just a case of sanity. Nahnu nahkumu bi zawahir. You must take all the zahir things, the prima facie evidence. You can't be living in... Therefore, fuqaha, jurors 1400 years ago and 1300 years ago, they wrote all this. Man lam ya'rif ahla zamani fa wa jahilun. If you don't understand the things happening in your time, how you can pass fatwa and all these type of things? You understand? So today so many 100,000 issues have come up. So you have to understand that first. Then you can pass the fatwa. You can't be sitting there in your own cocoon and passing fatwas and all these type of things. You understand? So that is the crucial. So we hope and we pray, and inshallah, that sanity prevails, that they say there was no sighting. Then very good, we all make Eid on, you understand, Saturday. South Africa and a few other countries, for them it will be 29 days, and majority of the world will be 30 days. Finish. That simple story. You got it now. So let it will be. So we're going to work that everybody is, we're not sure still, we have to wait for them and their moon samis, you understand? I call them moon samis. So you must remember that what they're going to say and what verdict and so forth. Another point I want to make, because I received this question yesterday. I won't take the person's name. Our Indo-Pak ulama, ma'al ihtiram, we respect them everything. You understand? Who are there for years and years and this. Some are in Makkah, some are in Medina, this and all. So some are there 30, 40, 50 years, you know. So the person gave me what he said, the whole clip and all these things here and all that. And he said, this Hazrat Maulana is a Sheikh al-Hadith and this and this. And he said, Saudiya ke yaha bilkul shari'i taur par ru'yat hoti hai. 100% according to the Sharia. You understood? So I told him one question I asked him. So because he himself was not satisfied what the Sheikh is a Maulana, but they call him Sheikh and this and all that. I asked him one question. If this Maulana is dead 30 years, 40 years, 20 years, whatever, Makkah, Medina, if he passes a fatwa openly against them, what do you think will happen? Straight away they'll deport him. What they did with Hazrat Mawlana Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib, what they did with Hazrat Mufti Ashiq Ilahi, his wife and that, Mawlana Ashiq Ilahi, his son also, they deported him, Kawthar. So like that, so many examples we got. So they must remember, so even our ulama, who make ta'id, we call this ta'id, who just echo the sentiments of the Saudis and that. We don't accept it. You know, because they more worried about their iqamah. You must remember that. If you start pass a fatwa like that, today is the no. But mobile age and technical age and whatever age, rocket age, you just press one button, it'll go viral, they'll call you up, pick up, and then you got 24 hours, you go to the plane and go back Pakistan, India, wherever you are. They're not interested in your stories and this type of thing. So ma'al ihtiram, we can't accept those fatwas. You understand? It can be Sheikhul Hadith or Sheikhul Das or Sheikhul Wal. I'm speaking of today's one who are, you understand? So with that also is an issue. Some of them come here and I ask them that. They say, Bilkul, 100% Shari'itop. I just look at them, you know. I say, but how can you say that when that man himself they will ask? You must remember, they don't have ru'yat. They will tell you, her mainaku ru'yat hotiya. You understood? But the Grand Mufti told us 8 months they don't have. In a meeting, conference, he told us this. So you see now, that's why we must be honest. Don't come and camouflage things and all that for your iqama. For you want to stay there and all this kind of thing. That's not deen, you must remember. That is mudahana fi deen. We're compromising on the deen, that is. And you, this is a masail to do with the pillars of Islam. I mean, it's a serious issue. So we work on the hypothesis, as they say, that Saturday is Eid, inshallah. So what must we do? So from Friday night, those of you who started fasting Friday, so Friday night, you must scan the sky. It's 35 hours, you will get, inshallah, all of you will be here, Imam Zahid and Mawlana Arafat and Yusuf Ali and all. You will get 101 people sending messages, moon sighted. Then you don't have to wait for anybody. Then finish is Eid then, you must remember that. So Friday night is Eid Eve. Let's use that word just to make people understand, and Saturday is Eid. So what must you do the Eid Eve? So inshallah we will send it out also just now. What must you do Islamically on the night of Eid? So there's a hadith also in Ibn Majah and that the person who stays awake at night, and Imam Shafi also mentioned it in Kitabul that lam yamut qalbuhu, his heart will not die. Meaning Allah Ta'ala's special mercy will come to him. So it's known as Laylatul Jaiza, Ramadan is finished, and now Shawwal has started, the night starts first. Allah Ta'ala is giving out prizes, minal faizin, and who are the people, minal khasirin. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, the night of Eid, used to cry. So people ask him, ma yubkika ya amir al-mu'mineen, he say, I'm wondering which side I am, minal faizin or minal khasirin, you understand? I'm the one who was successful or not successful. So these are lessons. Now our people, now finish, now everything starts, you understand? All the vices will start, the movies will start, this will start, all that. Boyfriend, girlfriend might be meeting, Allah forbid, all that. Then very important, look at the Quran, Surah 2, verse number 185. Quran Sharif says, وَلِتُكْمِلِ الْإِدَّةِ, complete the period. That is 29 days, 30 days. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَكُمْ. If you take this portion here, you will find it's mentioned for Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. For Eid al-Fitr is mentioned in Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 185. And remember, if you look at Surah Hajj, and you see that for Eid al-Adha, what Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there, وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. That is for Eid al-Adha. So you must remember this, that Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala is telling us, you must glorify Almighty Allah's name, because He conferred and blessed you with the greatest gift, the wealth of Iman and Islam. See Surah Hajj, كَذَلِكَ سَخَّرَهَا. Allah Ta'ala, He subjugated the camel and the cow and all that for you, big, big animals. لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. You see, Surah 22, Surah Hajj, verse 37. Hadith in Tabarani, Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, Zayyinu a'yadakum bitakbir. That read your takbir and read the takbir loudly. Remember that. That the hadith in Tabarani. Now for Eid al-Fitr, must you read the takbir? You're leaving your house, you're going to the masjid, you're going to the Eidgah. Must you read soft or loud? You must read loud. So remember that is Shafi'is, that is Malikis, that is Hanbalis, and Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, they say loud. Only Imam Abu Hanifa says softly. But even Imam Sahibain, they differ with Imam Abu Hanifa. So even if a Hanafi says it loudly, there's no problem with that. So we must not say that now is haram and all that. That's not right. What you're going to say, Sahibain were doing haram. I mean, think a little bit, you know. So you must remember, so if people want to say softly, you say softly, you want to say loudly, it's fine, no problem with that. And majority only got loudly. And when it comes to Eid al-Adha, everybody agrees it loudly, even Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. So we thank Almighty Allah, right? And then, now when does the takbir start? That's the issue. So according to Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, it starts. Now we're saying Saturday is Eid, for example, right? So Friday night from Maghrib time, the takbir will start. So already you must be busy with takbir. And that is Shafi'is and Hanbalis. Imam Malik and Imam Wanifa say Yom al-Eid. So from Fajr time. So Saturday Fajr time starts. So you start with the takbir. Now all these kind of masail are of the liya and what is preferred and what is not preferred. If somebody now does it at night, you're not going to say it haram or something. So you might, well, you say afdal is that and so forth. So we need to understand this masail properly. It's not something of halal, haram. It's something of afdaliya and so forth. That's one. So we must read and encourage people to read the takbir and so forth. When I was young, I used to remember that people used to read so much takbir. Nowadays, you see, early people like labbaik, you know. When we went for umrah, for hajj and umrah in the 70s, 74, 75, people used to read so much lalbi, talbiya. Today after 5 minutes flat. Understood? So it's very wrong. Ayyul hajji afdal ya Rasulullah. Which hajj is the best? Al-ajju wa sajju, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. Al-ajju, raise your voice, rafu sawt, raise your voice, the man. And al-sajju, al-hadyu, that you must slaughter, make iraqa to dam, the hadi, the dam-e-shukar. So these are things we're lacking nowadays. So we must encourage people. They must read takbir and so forth. Thereafter, your sadaqatul fitr is paid and all that, inshallah. Then we come, there's no adhan. Salat time, 8 o'clock, for example. I'll be in Balfour, inshallah, Saturday. So you must remember, so salat day is 8 o'clock, 7:30 is bayan. So anyway, I'm just using example now. Whether you have 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, that's up to you. So now there's no adhan, no iqama. So how do you perform Eid Salat? That's also an issue. So remember, majority scholars, Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, they say that, now remember, whether you're Hanafi, whether you're Shafi, whether you're Maliki, whether you're Salafi, whatever, whoever is the Imam, you just follow him. Don't come now like it was Witter story, come make separate Jamaat and all that, you know, that also I don't know. So I say, no, me, I'll make my own Jamaat. People sometimes, you know, that's why the Quran taught us a dua. Inni a'udhu bika min al-jahilin, you know. People, total jahil, you know. That. So, your Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali, Imam, Allahu Akbar, and then he'll make takbir 7 times, qabla al-qira'ah. Allahu Akbar, pick up your hands, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, 7 times. Then Surah Fatiha, and then Surah. And then Ruku, Sajda, all that is normal. Second rakat, he'll make takbir 5 times, remember this. So, 12 extra takbir. Okay, both before the qira'ah, before surah. That is majority score, and the hadith is also like that. You will find in Mishkat, Mustad, Ahmad, Ibn Majah, everywhere basically famous. Hanafis, they take the fatawa of Sahaba, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and so forth. So they say 6 extra takbir. So whether your Imam is Shafi'i, like the people in the Haram. So now you can't go say, I'm Hanafi, I'm not going to follow the Imam. So remember, Imam is going to make 7 and 5. Or wherever you are, you're in Cape Town, so the Imam is a Shafi, you just follow him. And if the person is Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali, come this side here, you just follow the Hanafi Imam, finish, you don't make stories there. So, but the person must explain to the crowd that how to perform the Eid Salat. So Hanafi method is like this, Imam will say Allahu Akbar, then you read Santana, Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. And thereafter you must remember, then you will make 3 extra takbirs, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So the third one, then you fasten your hand, then the 3 extra, then the third one, then you read Surah Fatiha, Surah, whatever, then Ruku, Sajda, all that. Then second rakat, you stand up, you start straight away. Surah Fatiha, Surah. Then, when you say Allahu Akbar, many people go into ruku, because they're used to that. No, you mustn't go into ruku. So you have to make three extra takbir qabla ruku now. So according to Hanafis, to sum it up, the first rakat, the takbir, the three, is qabla al-qira'ah. And in the second rakat, it is ba'd al-qira'ah. So that's a simple way of explaining it. So to people and the masses, and then you make three, and the fourth one, Allah Akbar, you're going to ruku. Then thereafter, now if you study seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi wa sallam never made dua, Eid day, after salat. Understand that also. And Nabi alayhi salatu salam then would give khutbah. First is salat and then is khutbah. So all the du'as were there, you must remember, in the second khutbah. So our ulama nowadays, they say, because people don't even understand Arabic and what have you and all that. So when is the time to make du'a? So majority scholars, our ulama, they say, you must make it after salat. Some ulama say after khutbah also is permissible. Like I know, there in Karachi, there was great alim. He used to write, you must remember, he was very close to Hazrat Allama bin Nuri, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Ludhianvi Sahib, Shaheed also. He used to have a column in the newspaper, and that all that is printed in 6-8 volumes or something. I got it here somewhere. So, aapke suwal aur unke jawab. So, in there he wrote, okay, if people make dua after khutbah, so we mustn't be so hard and harsh. But remember, it's better that we just tell people to make the dua after the salat. So you must remember this. If it's Arabs and all that, everybody knows, then you leave that dua out and you make the dua in the khutbah. So that is the original sunnah. You understand? Mm-hmm. So that is the original. That is what is meant in that hadith. وَيَشْهَدْنَا دَعْوَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ and all these kind of things. So it's a day of dua. It's very important, you see. But our people don't understand. So now after the salat, so you make dua, that's fine, that's good. We encourage it, all that. So you must remember that. There are, and remember, for women, no eat salat. All does this woman want to go eat ga, we say haram. I ask you three questions. You put 100 Muslim women anywhere. They will go with new clothes or no? 100%. Can you wear new clothes like that in public and all these kind of things? Second one, they will go with makeup and all that. They'll be dolled up or not? 100%. So from the 100% ladies, then 90% will be like that. So how you can say that is, according to hadith, for Yazania, she's like an adulteress. That is Sahih hadith in Tirmidhi. Quran says Surah 33, verse 33, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. So you see, there are a lot of issues. According to all four schools, no one said eat salat is compulsory for women. Nobody said that. So all these are dalail. It's just, they got shock, you see. Our deen is not what I desire, you desire. Is what Quran teaches us, what Sunnah teaches us, what Sahaba taught us, and what the Jufor schools taught us. That is Deen of Islam. So we must be clear on that, right? And then maybe give out charity and all that is very good. And then after the Eid Salat, this is also important. Remember this hadith also in Bayhaqi. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Sahaba. They would say, Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. So that's one reference. Then Nabi alayhi salatu salam's, this thing, Kalam Mubarak is mentioned. And if you open Fathul Bari, the commentary of Bukhari Sharif, then you will find that Sahaba also used to say it after Eid Salat and Khutbah and so forth. So that must be encouraged. You see, this is a perfect example. If we understood this, then we understood something good. Like there's one student of mine, mashallah, jazahullahu khairan. So he prepares, he's a graphic designer or what, mashallah. So he told me, I didn't ask him, he said, no, I'll do it. I said, very good, do it, we'll send it out. So he prepares Jumma Mubarak and Durood Sharif and Salawat and all. That's very good. So we send it out now because Jumma started already there. You must remember in New Zealand and Fiji and all the kind of places. It's 12 o'clock here, it's 10 o'clock at night there already. So you must remember that. So, you know, the night of Friday already there. So we will send it out in the afternoon sometime or just now, inshallah. So I meet you. Now, after 1 week, after 1 year or 6 months, I'm meeting you on Eid day, right? Then I say, oh, Eid Mubarak. So Eid Mubarak is not sunnah, but we will say it's permissible. What you will say is permissible or not permissible? Obviously, you will say it's permissible. But sunnah, you will say, taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum. You got it? But if people start saying Eid Mubarak to say it is sunnah or compulsory, then that becomes a bid'ah. So aslan, to say Eid Mubarak is permissible. But when you start considering it a sunnah, or make iltizam, you say it's compulsory. That becomes a bidah, you see. So same thing with Jummah Mubarak also. So if people, they tell me Jummah Mubarak, we make salam alaikum, whatever, mashallah. It is a Mubarak, there is no question about it. You understand, it's the best day of the week. So you must remember. But if people start saying it's sunnah compulsory, then that's wrong. So always put things in the proper perspective. Then two, three other things quickly before the news, I just want to go through. Is it sunnah to go to the graveyard? Like, ma, I'm going to Heidelberg tomorrow, and then Saturday I'll be going there to Balfour. So graveyard, Heidelberg, my parents, my brothers are buried there all. So I'll go tomorrow. Is sunnah to go Friday? But Saturday, inshallah, that everything goes smooth. So then I go there, my grandfather and grandmother and my uncles, aunties, all of them, so many members of. So that's why I'm going to Balfour, actually, that I want to go to graveyard and cemetery and all at one time. So it's permissible, but it's not a sunnah. You see, another example of that. So that's one. Another thing, our people, this is an Indian invention. So you must remember. Take our Suleiman Aesop. Allah Ta'ala grant his father Jannatul Firdaus, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say his father passed away 2 months ago, 5 months ago, 6 months ago. So then, now I remember very well when we were young, you know. So this today somebody asked me how old I am. You understand? So you must remember that. Yeah. So anyway, the point I'm making here is this. So the people got one riwaj, one rasam, one custom tradition. They say, no, pelli eat, pelli eat. So whoever passed away, stood during that year, so the men and it will go after eat salat and khutbah to those houses there. So no, Allah give you sabr. So it's very good, but is it permissible? It's not permissible. Why is not permissible? Day of Eid is day of happiness and joy. Mm. And then the mourning period, the ihdad, is 3 days only. You can't be going as a jama'at and that you were there for the janazah, you were there and that now after 3 months, 6 months, you go again and you now. So now, I mean, that's not Islam, that. Mm. So that's our own custom. You see, when people came from India 150, 160 years, they brought one Lal Kitab, I call it, you understood? It came from Mirzapur, Saharanpur, Palanpur, Kolbatpur, all these places. So they teach all the people all this. It's fairy tales that we must say 100% not permissible. Mm. That is, Naman ahdatha fi amrina ma laysa minhu fawarad. You're bringing your own deen into Islam. You're using your own culture and telling us it's Islam. That's wrong. That we must disapprove of it and say it's not permissible. So therefore, you're in Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi wrote a nice law in that book of his, Al Halal wal Haram. Some places we don't agree with what he wrote and all that, but the usuls he wrote were very good. He said one usul he wrote, a good intention does not make a haram action permissible. A good intention does not make a haram action permissible. Now that's a good law for people to understand. So anyway, we wish everybody, inshallah, make dua, the Saudi Munsami is now, they must make right decision. That's the main inshallah thing for tonight, you know. And this type of things. Barakallahu feek. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.